What are you doing? Donald, are there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
They were a pair of political consultants who needed a break.
That's it. We're finished, through, kaput.
Don't say that, Max.
Let's face it, Bloom, we haven't had a winning campaign in years. Ugh.
Max, do you realize that under the right circumstances, it might be possible for us to make more money from a losing candidate than from a winner?
What did you just say?
First we find a bad candidate, then we raise money like crazy, and we promise all the donors an ambassadorship to Italy or Sweden or Armenia. Then when the public figures out what a nutcase our guy is, he drops out of the race.
And we keep all the dough. Oh, darling Bloom, glorious Bloom, you bloody little genius, you.
Max, don't.
But wait, this candidate. He's got to be the worst candidate in history. A real train wreck. A schmuck, a putz, a grade-A, world-class, gold-plated nincompoop. Where would we ever find a buffoon like that?
And now, a message from the boardroom.
Many people have been asking about my desk and the fact that I have so many papers on my desk. It's actually very neat, but if you look around, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I've noticed over the years that successful people have a lot going on their desk.
Hand me the phone.
Desk is in my
the
office.
Phone.
My desk is a very important part of me.
Yes.
If it's not perfectly...
Hello.
I think that's
hello, operator.
I actually think that's a good thing.
Get me the boardroom. You know which one.
They had a foolproof plan.
There's a new horse in the race for the White House. His name, Donald J. Trump. Can he beat the establishment? Who will support him? Fiscal conservatives? The religious right? Or crazy old semi-racist white people?
You're sure he can win, Mr. Bialystok?
Oh, Mrs. Kaminsky, Donald Trump is the very definition of a winner.
Bless you, Mrs. Kaminsky. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I keep the checky. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Kaminsky. Yes. Goodbye, Mrs. Kaminsky. Here we go. That's a girl. Oh. Beautiful, beautiful. We're going right out the door. All right, easy now. Easy, we don't have time for that. Easy. All right, don't worry. It's only six flights. Bye. Bye. Thank God for Citizens United.
That makes 22 ambassadors to France so far.
And $25 million, Bloom. I have to tell you, running Trump was smart. But your idea about building a wall across the Mexican border, brilliant.
Not as brilliant as your idea about making the Mexicans pay for it.
He won't last the week.
Oh, look, Max, this is it.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Mark my words.
We're in the money. We're in the money.
But they picked the wrong fool.
Good news for Donald Trump. The whole world has gone stark raving mad for him.
He's still in the lead, Max.
How could this happen?
Well, I hear he's a proven businessman who knows how to get things done.
Yeah, and he will stand up to the Mexicans.
I can't believe this. It's not possible.
Where did we go right?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did he question John McCain's war heroism?
Yes.
Did he say we should forcibly kick out 11 million immigrants?
Yes.
Did he propose banning all 1 billion Muslims from entering the U.S.?
Si.
Si. Did he say Heidi Klum was no longer a 10?
Yes. Yes!
Nothing is working, Max, nothing.
Oh, no. No!
Just in time for the election, it's a story that starts off funny and then gets really, really depressing.
We needed a chump to put on the stump. A frumpy, grumpy, jumpy named Donald J. Trump. He's building a wall
1,000 feet tall.
Don't worry, cause the Mexicans will pay for it all.
From the producers of The Producers comes the movie that'll make America great again. Nathan Lane, Matthew Broderick, and Cloris Leachman star in
You've Been Trumped.
Trumped.
Maybe he won't be such a bad president.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing, bing.
Whoa. What have we done?
But today, we learned why Trump may be acting like this. According to a new book called Fire and Fury, Donald Trump didn't want to be president. He didn't want him to win. Trump was planning on failing and walking away with the fame and the money. Or as the article describes it, this was a real-life version of Mel Brooks' The Producers. Now, in some ways, it still is. I mean, just look at all the happy Nazis. It's a brilliant plan, but then tragedy struck. He won. Donald Trump Jr. told a friend that on election night, his father looked as if he had seen a ghost. Melania was in tears and not of joy. Now, the book, here are the cliff notes. Trump dumb. Staff worried. That when it comes to Donald Trump, everything is exactly what you thought it was. His entire shtick is just trying to convince you you're crazy for seeing what's obvious.
I remember when I lost my mind.
President Trump is having maybe the worst week of his presidency so far, and that's saying something. And it's all because of a book that came out called Fire and Fury. It is a devastating portrait of the Trump family, as told by people who work with and for him. A reporter named Michael Wolff got some great stuff out of Steve Bannon, who at one time was one of Trump's closest advisors. He's not anymore. But Wolff spent a lot of time in the White House. Trump is even taking issue with that assertion. He lashed out at the book, its author, and Steve Bannon on Twitter last night. He wrote, "I authorized zero access to White House. Actually turned him down many times for author of phony book. I never spoke to him for book. Full of lies, misrepresentations, and sources that don't exist. Look at this guy's past and watch what happens to him and Sloppy Steve." Now, Sloppy Steve is Trump's new nickname for Steve Bannon. So he's using it now. He used it twice in 2 days. This morning, he tweeted, "The Mercer family recently dumped the leaker known as Sloppy Steve Bannon." Smart. The leaker known as Sloppy Steve. I like when he comes up with a nickname and then acts like it was a thing. He wasn't known as Sloppy Steve Bannon. You named him that yesterday. Anyway, the author of the book, Michael Wolff, was on the Today Show this morning. He thanked the president for calling so much attention to his book by trying to stop it from being published and added more fuel to the fire and fury by saying everyone he spoke to while writing this book compared the president to a child. They said he has the temperament of a child, the vocabulary of a child, and also questioned his intellectual capacity.
One of the overarching themes is that, according to your reporting, everyone around the president, senior advisors, family members, every single one of them questions his intelligence and fitness for office.
Let me put a marker in the sand here. 100% of the people around.
Actually, throughout my life, my two greatest assets have been mental stability and being, like, really smart. Crooked Hillary Clinton also played these cards very hard and, as everyone knows, went down in flames. I went from very successful businessman to top TV star to president of the United States on my first try. I think that would qualify as not smart, but genius, and a very stable genius at that.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
Well, I think the press makes me more uncivil than I am. You know, people don't understand. I went to an Ivy League college. I was a nice student. I did very well. I'm a very intelligent person.
Is Donald Trump an intellectual? Trust me, I'm like a smart person.
Number one, I'm not stupid, okay? I can tell you that right now. Just the opposite.
And I was a good student. I understand things. I comprehend very well, okay? Better than, I think, almost anybody. I'm a very smart person. You know, I went to the best school. I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
Putin did call me a genius.
People would say I'm the super genius of all time. The super genius of all time.
I'm really smart.
I'm smart. I'm like a smart person.
I'm like a really smart person.
You know, I'm like a smart person.
I'm a big thinker.
I'm a man of great common sense.
I'm one of the smartest people anywhere in the world.
Let me just ask you a question, sir. Do you, I understand, you're saying that you did not mean to suggest that Megyn Kelly was having her period. You were
of
saying...
Of course I did, okay. Jake. Who would say that? Hey, Jake, I went to the Wharton School of Finance. I was an excellent student. I'm a smart person. I built a tremendous company. I had a show called The Apprentice that NBC desperately wanted me to do another season.
I'm familiar with your work, sir.
Okay, I do all this stuff. Do you think I'd make a stupid statement like that? Who would make a statement like that? Only a sick person would even think about it.
You're not known to be a humble man. But I wonder.
I think I am actually humble. I think I'm much more humble than you would understand.
I do have actually much more humility than a lot of people would think.
Your name is on everything.
No, I know, but there's more humility than you would think.
What would you want your Secret Service code name to be?
Humble.
Be humble. Holla, bitch. Sit down. Holla, little, holla, be humble. Bitch. Holla, bitch. Sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Holla, bitch. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down, be humble, sit down, be humble, bitch, sit down, be humble, sit down.
Yes?
President, you were talking about the policy issues that you all were focusing on
mm-hmm.
the last few days here at Camp David, but this morning you were tweeting about your mental state.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you feel the need to tweet about that this morning? Mm.
Well, only because I went to the best colleges, or college. I went to a, I had a situation where I was a very excellent student. I came out and made billions and billions of dollars, became one of the top business people. Mm-hmm. Went to television for 10 years, was a tremendous success, as you probably have heard. Ran for president one time and won. And then I hear this guy that, doesn't know me at all. By the way, did not interview me for three. Said he interviewed me for 3 hours in the White House. Didn't exist, okay? It's in his imagination. And what I was heartened by, because I talk about fake news and the fake news media, was the fact that so many of the people that I talk about in terms of fake news actually came to the defense of this great administration and even myself. Because they know the author and they know he's a fraud. And when I saw some of the people say, and you look at some of his past books, he did a book on Rupert Murdoch. It was a terrible expose, and it was false. So much of it was false. I consider it a work of fiction. And I think it's a disgrace that somebody's able to have something, do something like that. The libel laws are very weak in this country. If they were strong, it would be... very helpful. You wouldn't have things like that happen, where you can say whatever comes to your head. But just so you know, I never interviewed with him in the White House at all. He was never in the Oval Office. We didn't have an interview. Up and up. I did a quick interview with him a long time ago, having to do with an article. But I don't know this man. I guess Sloppy Steve brought him into the White House quite a bit. And it was one of those things. That's why Sloppy Steve is now looking for a job.
My left stroke just went viral.
In just the last few minutes, the president has sent out some remarkable tweets. And I just have to read them because I almost can't believe them. Now that Russian collusion, after 1 year of intense study, has proven to be a total hoax on the American public, the Democrats and their lapdogs, the fake news mainstream media, are taking out the old Ronald Reagan playbook and screaming mental stability and intelligence.
Actually, he goes on to say, throughout my life, my two greatest assets have been mental stability and being, like, really smart.
And he literally writes... Like
I'm not throwing
really
that in
smart.
There, yes, I want
okay.
to point out. Like
yeah.
really smart. Crooked Hillary Clinton also played these cards very hard and, as everyone knows, went down in flames.
I went from very successful businessman to top TV star, dot, 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 to president of the United States, Armand Fanchon. I think that would qualify as not smart, but genius, dot, 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 dot. And a very stable genius at that. I'm a very stable genius.
I believe it was Rene Descartes who said, I think, therefore, I am, like, really smart.
No super genius, or are I?
Author Michael Wolff said there are times when members of President Trump's inner circle are so alarmed by his unpredictability and temper, they wonder if they should take extraordinary measures.
They don't say the cabinet is going to remove the president, but they do say things like, this is a little 25th Amendment-y here.
Does that make me crazy?
Now, look, of course, Trump was always going to come out and tell us that he has a very good brain. What was fun was watching the grown-ups around him pretend that they don't see what's blatantly obvious.
President Trump is completely capable.
I don't think he's crazy.
No one questions the stability of the president. Well,
I've never questioned his mental fitness. I have no reason to question his mental fitness.
These people aren't just saying that Donald Trump is of sound mind. They're basically saying that all of us are mentally unstable for questioning him. But the truth is, we all knew this about Donald Trump. We all knew that he was crazy. In fact, they said this about Trump.
I think he's a kook. I think he's crazy. I think he's unfit for office.
But now that he's won, he's our crazy. So he's not crazy. So you're crazy. Look, I guess what the Republicans are saying is this. Yes, Donald Trump was a deranged lunatic, unfit to be president, but once he won the Electoral College, then he became a stable genius. Because everyone knows, nothing turns a man sane like absolute power.
All aboard!
Dr. Alan Francis. He wrote the criteria to define the narcissistic personality disorder, and Mr. Trump does not meet them. He added, you can't say enough about how incompetent and unqualified Trump is to be leader of the free world, but that does not make him mentally ill. And the doctor goes on to note, most mentally ill people are nice, they're well-mannered. Trump is none of these, and he says lumping Trump in with them stigmatizes the mentally ill population. Dr. Francis has made some waves and is our special guest tonight. Doctor, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
What moved you to speak out, and what do you want people to know about the medical facts here?
Well, you know, there are lots of very accurate names for Donald Trump. Call him an impulsive, spoiled brat. Call him a really bad guy. Call him a dangerous threat to American democracy. Call him an ignorant jerk. All these would be accurate and useful names. But I do object to psychological name-calling because it is an insult to the patients I've known who are mostly wonderful people, which Trump isn't. And even worse, it's a real distraction from the important work we have to do to set limits on this baby president. As we're calling him names, we're avoiding the political work that needs to be done and the institutional taming. It's the responsibility of Congress, of the courts, and of the press.
Well, Dr. Francis, I think you put it so well just then. I think you just called the president a baby, and this president has called many people worse things. And in a First Amendment free speech society, people can talk all they want to talk in the civic and political space. And yet, what you have called out is a real concern about, tell me what you would call it, the potential abuse of medical diagnosis, including by people in the medical profession who have not actually personally diagnosed the president? I mean, help us understand, what are the conditions under which someone can make a diagnosis? Can they do it just by watching this president on TV?
Well, I think the people who are diagnosing Trump are well-meaning but misguided. They feel, as many of us do, that he's a terrible threat to our society and that he may be a threat to the entire world, particularly with global warming. They feel a duty to warn. The trouble is that anyone with any sense knows that Trump is dangerous. You don't need an MD or a PhD to realize this. The people supporting him are doing it either because they're misguided or they're taking cynical advantage of his distracting us from the things that really matter. There will never be a 25th Amendment removal of this president based on psychiatric illness. That would require psychiatrists agreeing to this, which they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It would require Vice President Pence mm-hmm. and the cabinet agreeing to it. It would require a two-thirds vote of both right. houses of Congress.
And finally, I want to get you on one more thing, and I appreciate your constitutional analysis as well, because it's a high bar. The last thing is, you really emphasize that a lot of this has the risk of stigmatizing our understanding of a various range of mental challenges and illness, which are quite common. Speak to that in our final moment.
Yeah, we shouldn't be medicalizing bad behavior. We shouldn't be confusing people who do evil things with the mentally ill. Very few of the bad things that happen in our world are caused by the mentally ill. They suffer more than causing suffer, and they deserve a better deal than being lumped with Donald Trump.
Not that he does watch a lot of cable news. In fact, here's what he tweeted back in July. Quote, "The White House is functioning perfectly, focused on health care, tax cuts, reform, and many other things. I have very little time for watching TV." That tweet went out at 9:39 a.m. Eastern Time. The president tweets a lot in the morning, especially about what he is watching on cable news programs, sometimes within minutes of the segment in question. Now, apparently that tweet wasn't enough for the president. So back in November, he told reporters, quote, "I don't get to watch much television, primarily because of documents. I'm reading documents a lot." Now, it's not exactly news that the president is doing precisely what he says he's not doing, but now we have a more detailed look at the president's schedule. The website Axios got a look at copies of the president's private schedule. Every morning, he has a three-hour period called executive time. According to the documents Axios has, executive time is from 8 to 11 a.m. Now, during executive time, you might think he would be in the Oval Office or elsewhere in the West Wing doing executive stuff. Instead, according to Axios, this is the last place you will actually find him. Officials telling Axios that executive time almost always means TV and Twitter time alone in the residence. So if that's true, he starts his workday around 11 and usually wraps up at 6, sometimes even earlier. By comparison, President Obama rose early, worked out, and was at the office between 9 and 10. President George W. Bush began his workday at 6:45, which doesn't mean that this president or any president shouldn't observe whatever schedule they wish. And for the record, this president's workday was, in fact, longer at the beginning of his administration. It's certainly a difficult job, and he's entitled to do it any way he sees fit. However, it does seem a little rich to be tweeting that you don't watch a lot of television at the very moment you're almost certainly watching television. It's a little rich to say that you're just too busy with documents when you reportedly and evidently, judging by all the morning tweets, spend 3 hours every morning not reading documents or not only reading documents. It's a little like spending so many days at golf clubs and vacation spots after saying this.
I wouldn't leave the White House very much because, you know, like little things like these little trips where they get on, they cost you a fortune.
I love working. I'm not a vacation guy.
I don't take vacations. I'm not like Obama where he takes Air Force One to Hawaii.
I don't take vacations.
I promise you, I will not be taking very long vacations if I take them at all. There's no time for vacation.
Other people, they go away for weeks and weeks. I don't like taking vacations.
Obama likes relaxing and going on vacations. Me, I like working. I like working. I really do. If I get elected president, I'm going to be in the White House a lot. I'm not leaving. We have deals to make. Who the hell wants to leave, right?
Well, today a spokesman told us, quote, "This president works tirelessly for the American people." He said it aboard Air Force One. If you're wondering where the president was heading at the time on Air Force One, he was on his way first to give a speech in Nashville, then to see the college football national championship. 3 hours of executive time, according to Axios, for a self-described very stable genius President Trump's allies might say, you know, what's concerning about that? He's allowed to make his own schedule.
It's the hypocrisy in when you can clearly line up his tweets with what he's watching on television, just like he did when the New York Times reported last month that he watches a ton of cable TV, and then on Air Force One, he says to reporters, I don't watch TV at all. It's just blatantly not true, because you can match up his Twitter feed to segments he watches on television.
Now, Oprah is denying any political ambitions. But two of her close friends told CNN she is actively thinking about running for president. A lot of people think Oprah belongs in government. For instance, Donald Trump does.
Would you consider a woman for your running mate? And if so, who?
I threw out the name of a friend of mine who I think the world of. She's great. Oprah. I said Oprah, Oprah Winfrey, who's really great.
If you need any more proof that Donald Trump is delusional, he thinks Oprah would take vice president. Turning out to be an enormously consensual presidency. My presidency is very congenital. Life, I believe life begins at consumption. And by the way, my mental stability is extremely conjunctivitis.
For the
songs and skits
from
Matthew Broderick, Nathan Lane, Cloris Leachman,
Jimmy
Kimmel,
Guillermo
Rodriguez, Knowles Barkley, Kendrick Lamar, Peter Serafinovich,
Panic
at the Disco, Ozzy Osbourne,
and
Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Stephen Colbert, Savannah Guthrie,
Michael
Wolf, Ben Stiller, Fredo Corleone, Jake Tapper, Victor Blackwell, Christy, Paul, Homer Simpson,
Major
Garrett, Trevor, Noah, Ari, Berman, Alan, Francis, Anderson, Kupel.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.